Hey everyone, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We're so happy that you are with us tonight, joining us live for this broadcast that we do every Tuesday night. And this broadcast is sponsored by Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit that supports parents who homeschool children with special educational needs, which tends to be every special needs parent right at this point. And so we're hoping that we can give you some encouragement. And tonight, our topic, our whole month, we've been focusing on tips and tricks and just ways to better teach. And we're wrapping up this month talking about working memory and just how to improve a child's working memory. And we're here with Brianna and Pam from Connect Education. Welcome, both of you.
Hi, thanks, Peggy.
Yeah, I'm so glad. So I've actually known Pam for a long time, and so it's nice to reconnect. And I'm glad that they're sharing with us some of the things that I've actually used with my own children. And so so this is going to be fun. But as we get started, I would really like our audience to get to know you, know a little bit about your story, about how Connect Education started, and then just what you do. And then we'll kind of start diving into the topic. But I do want to thank Bookshark for being our sponsor tonight. We'll hear more from them later on in the show. And also, we want you to know, as a viewer, that you can be part of this conversation. We are live for a reason, because we want your comments and your questions. And so definitely put those in if you're thinking about them. Is something that Pam or Brianna say that sparks something that you're like, ooh, how do I handle that? Put that in the feed. We want that to be part of our conversation. We want you to get your questions answered. So I would love for you guys to talk a little bit about yourselves and just what you do and the passion you have behind what you do and why.
All right, I'll get started because I'm the mom and the mom gets to start.
I'm first Candace, lesson.
And this is my daughter, Brianna Stewart. And like Peggy said, we're co-owners of Connect Education. And we really got started in this because of our own situation. I was a homeschool mom back in the 1900s. I like to share that. It makes me sound very 1996, actually. But Brianna was my third child. I thought she was a pretty amazing teacher until she came along. And I knew she was a bright little girl, but all things academic were tough for her. And so very tough. So by the time she was between 7 and 8 years old, Brianna still could not say the alphabet, even with the song. She so wanted to learn to read. She could not count. She could count to 10, but it was pretty tough. And she knew how to write her name because she knew what it looked like as a picture. But if somebody asked her how to spell her name, she would just panic because she couldn't remember the names of the letters. Yeah. So at that time, we were looking around for help. Obviously, I tried several things on my own, and we found Diane Kraft, a learning specialist in Denver. And many of you are probably familiar with her if you've been homeschooling. She speaks at quite a few conventions over the years. So when I took Brianna to her, she was known that Brianna had auditory processing dyslexia, very severe. And basically, that just meant that information was not passing from the learning side of the brain to the automatic memory. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And she taught us her three-pronged approach, which Brianna remembers very well.
Yes, fondly.
And within a year, so sometimes I forget, I get going on our topic and forget to tell you the rest of the story for Brianna, kind of leave her back not knowing the alphabet. But within a year, Brianna was reading above grade level. Then she went on to high school without accommodations, went to college, graduated with honors, and got her master's in education. So obviously, this is a really near and dear to our heart. And so while she was going through school, I began working with Diane, started traveling with her to conventions. That's where I met Peggy. We were talking about it before, about 100 years ago, I think.
Right, it feels like that sometimes. We just color our hair. And
you guys look good.
So I started doing consultations with her, actually started speaking on her behalf, and still, other than this season, all the conventions have been canceled that we were scheduled to speak at, but still represent her craft, Right Brain Learning system. So we're really excited to get to share that, which was really life-changing for us. So let me see what I want to go from here. I kind of want to talk a little bit about that three-pronged approach before we get going. That's really the, in 2016, after Brianna got her master's, we opened Connect Education. So we actually, our business right now is to see people for consultations, either in person or remotely. Right now, everybody's remote.
Right. It's nice that you're set up already for that.
We really are. Yeah. Probably. What do you think, Brianna? Maybe 3/4 of the people.
Yeah.
Out of state and even out of country. So that's been very handy during this time. So we kind of, our mantra is healing intervention to move a child from struggling academically to learning with ease. And we do that with that three-pronged approach. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about the two healing prongs, if you will, and then Brianna's going to spend some time really talking about those visual strategies and the working memory and how to improve that.
Yeah,
so that,
but it is nice to talk about the underlying issues that can be happening too, and I'm glad that you're addressing that, because oftentimes we'll just go to those over-the-top types of things and not realize what might be happening underneath that may frustrate us more, even if we do use these approaches. So that's important for sure.
We really talk about there's a continuum of learning. So with Brianna, I was panicking and trying to teach her 100 different programs, when really we had to get to the root of what was going on, you know? So, and that's where we see the jumps in learning. But the first of the three prongs is midline therapy, brain integration therapy. And so if you want to bring up the picture of the brain, Peggy, I'll talk a little bit about that right now. So we all have two hemispheres of the brain, unless we've had some sort of surgery. But the left side of the brain is our learning side. It's the auditory side. It's our short-term memory. So when we learn information, it comes into that left side of the brain. And then fairly quickly, information should pass through that midline of the brain, which is called the corpus callosum, into the automatic memory, the long-term memory. So sometimes that corpus callosum, though, is acting as a barrier instead of a bridge for information, or sometimes even a mirror. So a lot of you may have children who things are reversed for them. Thankfully, back in about the 60s, Dr. Stoneman and Delicato found out that if you move the body across the midline, you can actually make connections across the midline. The brain, so information will pass easier. So really, that's the brain integration therapy that we teach. Really, it's just 20 minutes of exercises you do in your home with your child to make connections between the two sides of the brain, doing physical exercises.
So what may be some indicators for parents if a child has this issue? What will they be seeing their child struggling with?
That's a really good question. So most of the time there are processing issues, visual processing may be difficult, because not just information has a difficult time passing that corpus callosum, but also processing will be. So many of our children are behind in reading because information isn't crossing easily. Because their eyes aren't tracking well. Many of them struggle with writing, the actual act of writing. We talk a lot about smart kids who hate to write. And then that auditory processing, where you feel like you're teaching a child something, sometimes it even seems like they really get it, and then they lose it, and you're starting over again. That's a very clear sign that that corpus callosum isn't doing its job. Do you want to add anything to that specifically?
I think it's interesting that it's difficult sometimes to think about how the body and the brain are so connected.
Right.
But there's even physical things that we see, right? Like the difficulty with tiner shoes or skipping. Maybe they gallop, they stay on one side, but they don't skip, right? Because that's bringing those two sides together.
Yeah.
You know, so there's lots of little also physical things that we're looking for that show that that really brain wants to stay homolateral. So it wants to work on the one side. It doesn't want to integrate. So that's where we get really nerdy, is because there's so many things, you know, that are really aha moments. You know, for me personally, you know, it's like, oh, wow, all of these physical things related to that learning issue, you know, just that we are so connected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, and the brain's fascinating. So we have some kids struggle with all of the areas and physically too. Then we have some that are real athletes. So physically everything came together, but they still have a hard time getting thoughts. That you give them a, you think that you're killing them, you know, to put a pencil in their hand. So,
And that could be that they whatever sport they're doing is very, you know, one-sided as well.
It can be. And we really do find for, it's really handy sometimes, because for our kids who do care about athletics, you can talk them into doing the exercises more easily when they know that it's going to improve their game, because it really does.
Right.
You know, it gives them a better sense of where they are in space. So, so then the other thing that goes on with that corpus callosum, almost all of our kids who struggle, we know have something biochemically going on that caused that difficulty in the first place or is related to it. So the corpus callosum of the brain is made mostly of fat, and a lot of that is DHA, the hexacosin, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, in a sense, sometimes it flows out, sometimes it doesn't. So, so that's the second of the three prongs, is we want to get to the root of that too. We want to figure out how do we get more fat in the brain so that information, so that those axons and dendrites can talk more easily through the fat. And you put the root of the gut being considered the second brain. So we work to heal the gut, make it a healthy ecosystem so that it's doing what it needs to do with neurotransmitters for the brain, settles down the nervous system. Then we work to replenish vitamins and minerals that have been depleted because the gut hasn't been in a good ecology. Overgrowth causes, you know, eats fat in the system, eats magnesium in the system. So we get little kids who are uptight and anxious.
Right.
And then the third thing we work towards is getting lots of good fats into the body for the corpus callosum, for learning, for the retina of the eye, for tracking, for the myelin sheath that covers our nerves. A lot of our kids have sensory processing issues because their nerves are on red alert. They're not protected well enough with the fat. So it's all so linked together. That nerdy piece. But that's kind of the second prong. We have a 3 to 5 month nutritional program, mainly with supplements, to get that piece working better. And then really Brianna is going to talk about, so those are the healing parts, and then she's going to talk about what we do in the meantime while we're healing, learning more quickly. Sorry.
Right.
You feel a little self-conscious.
So if you have any so if you have any questions for Pam, just on, you know, those first two prongs, definitely throw those in the feed. It's a lot of information. I know I when I first heard Diane talk, that I think she gave like an hour long talk on just, you know, each of those parts, and I felt like my brain was swimming by the time I was done with it. But I like your over cap of that, and just how essential each of those things are to get the brain in the place where it's going to be functioning good together, and yes, the gut related to that and the fats and
really such a, in a way, such a seemingly difficult issue. We really have found there are really some simple steps you can take. You know, the exercises are not that complicated. The nutrition is pretty straightforward, you know, and teaching, I think you'll be surprised by the ease of the teaching idea, the strategy behind it. So.
Yeah,
I think one thing we talk about a lot is just that we believe that many of these things can be overcome and that there's a lot of healing, which I think in this space, a lot of times unintentionally, maybe people get discouraged or feel like we can just accommodate for these things. But we really just, you know, personally, that wasn't the case for us. And we've just seen so many kids overcome so many things, you know, so we do believe that there's a lot of hope for these issues. So
yeah,
I have a question from one of our viewers, and she said, is this similar to the Nemecek protocol? I guess I've never been introduced to that one, so
so I believe that's a nutritional plan, correct? We just actually recently had someone with a daughter who's on the autism spectrum, who's on the Nemecek protocol, and I haven't looked all into it, but I do know that they address issues with the gut. And yeah, so there's that similarity, which is great, because a lot of times what's going on in the gut gets totally missed, and it's at the everything. You know, in our country, our ecosystem and our gut gets so messed up because of largely because of antibiotics, either as in a child, as a small child, or in utero.
And that's where my kids got theirs. I was on antibiotics, if you, any of you parents were on them, for acne like I was for about 5 years. I realized after my boys were born that that was the source of where my son's autism issues came from, my son's auditory processing issues came from. All of these things I could trace back to a lot of those gut issues, because when we did go through this protocol, we saw a lot of that disappear.
Yeah, and we always say when we speak that one of our goals is to make sure that moms feel just a little more guilty when they leave.
I know.
Really true, because we know, I mean, the importance of antibiotics, right? I mean, they're life-saving, they're life-changing. And thankfully, as you experienced, a lot of that could be remediated or, you know, cured after the fact. Yeah. But even if your child hasn't been, we have so much sugar in America in everything that we're overfeeding the yeast in the system, sugar, and the yeast tends to grow out of control and knock out skin bacteria. So,
well, I think it's really important too, is that your diet, and I'm not sure most of the gut diets do this, I think some do, but you also work on the toxins and the high metals. Because those are things that often some diets will miss that still cause a lot of issues in brain functionality.
Yeah, I think too, it's obvious the diet is a big thing, Peggy, that you talked about. You know, the plan that's put together is, you know, supplements that we kind of have parents go through. But obviously, if the diet continues to be a lot of carbs and sugar, it's hard, right? You're just constantly combating that, you know. It's just bigger growth if you can also kind of target the diet piece of it too.
Yeah, sometimes allergies, there's so many things that can be involved in that piece. But if you want to talk about that third prong a little bit, Brianna.
I can dive in if you're ready for that. So the third prong is what we call alternative teaching strategies. So it's using the right visual memory. And really, this is a crucial piece that I see missed a lot in different circles, you know, different therapies. You know, maybe we're working on making connections with the brain. But a big piece of moving a child forward is giving them more glue, is what we say, or more Velcro to hold on to information. Because we don't want to just wait until all those brain connections are formed that need to be there, and you know, they get more fat into the brain, because a lot of times we're working with children who are, you know, 6+ years behind, 2 or 3 years behind, you know, so we want kind of those big leaps in progress. So one thing that we look at is why is maybe plan A not working. And a lot of times that's because traditional curriculum is relying on rules to learn the information, maybe rote memorization, writing things over and over, copy work, auditory clues. So for example, learning Wednesday, we might say Wednesday to get them to hear how to spell that. A lot of repetition, louder, slower. So, you know, just because of what we've talked about, that's hitting on a lot of those weaknesses in those processing areas, right? That the auditory processing and the writing struggle. So we use the visual memory because it really is the long-term memory. So we often say there's really no reason to switch unless that traditional plan A isn't working. So even if you think about your visual memory being your long-term memory, if we ask you, you know, to remember your first school teacher or the first house you grew up in, you're going to pull up a picture in your mind of that.
Right.
Where, you know, let's say holding on to a phone number, you might say it over and over and over until you get to your phone, you punch it into your phone, and then it's gone. So that's that auditory rote side that's housed in the short-term memory. So we want to tap into the visual long-term memory. So how we do that, you know, I'm excited because I'm going to show some real practical, easy ways to start using it right away, because it really is simple to use. So, so for now, we use color, we use picture, we use weird, humor, all of that is housed on that visual long-term. A lot of times with our boys, we say bodily fluids, you know, all of that is housed on that, visual side of our brain. So one of the first things we say is, you know, if you can get away from speaking everything, I remember I tell this story, you know, my mom, she's here, of course, she would say these beautiful long explanations of, you know, well, this is this rule and remember how that applies, you know, and I remember being like, I hear the words you're saying, but they just don't mean anything to me, you know? So for a while, we really did have to switch and have paper and markers and, yeah, and that can fill your heart with terror if you're not a creative, artistic person.
Right, lots of stick people.
Yes, exactly. And that works, you know, because we were both very not creative, not artistic, and we made it work. So we also say
better because there's hope for many.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes the goofier the picture, the better it sticks.
Yeah.
So the way, you know, so sometimes we get asked who really needs visual strategies. Really, it's the long-term memory. So anybody could hone that skill. But obviously, we look at using it for our struggling learner population. So, and that is because those processing areas, that auditory processing, the information's coming into that short-term side of the brain and it's staying there. So you're repeating the information over and over, or feels like you have to reteach it, maybe within a day, maybe within the same reading session. Kids who have focus attention issues, if you think about color, humor, action, excitement, that's going to draw them in more than copy work or black and white rote memorization. Kids who may struggle with reading or spelling issues. Spelling and reading is primarily taught through rules, and that can be a lot for our kiddos to hold on to. And then, of course, the working memory struggle or processing speed. Those are both kind of hot topics right now in education, is how to increase those two things. And really, we think that we need to just use a different method, which is the visual memory. So we say often it's energy sparing learning, because it's sticking finally. They're not using so much of their energy to hold on to the information, but it's not necessarily energy sparing teaching. Because
yes, that's very true. Uh-huh.
Yes. And even just because it's a paradigm shift more than anything, it's just changing the way that you look at things and that you present the information.
As a mom, and we tell our moms this, and we see this even in our consultations where we'll teach a spelling word like Brianna's going to teach, when you see that aha moment in their face, and they realize, I am smart, I can do it, you know, they see that evidence, you get addicted to it. So you're willing to get the markers out and try to figure out how to do it, you know, how to illustrate it.
Right, and you don't have as many fights either about doing school when they realize they are making progress and they are getting these things, versus, you know, them just always being frustrated and thinking that they're dumb. And, you know, I just remember that, how that switched so quickly when we started doing more of these types of methods.
Definitely, it's a big deal.
Yeah, a lot of times we see that wall come up, right? And that's a big part of, in our consultations, we're kind of overcoming that, you know, it's also making that evidence match that they're smart, you know, not just us telling them, but then seeing this is something that they can tap into, that smart part. So kind of the practical things that we do. So one of the big words is embedding. And so basically what that is just taking that left brain piece. So it could be a letter, a number, phonics, spelling word, math, fact, and putting it right on the picture. So we bring those two things together. And the reason we do that is that the brain likes to learn information in a unit, hold it in a unit, and then spit it out in a unit. So really that's the way the brain likes to kind of chunk things together. So sometimes when we talk about this, people will be like, you know, we've used visuals, but this embedding piece of using visuals is the big difference. It's more of a super glue, we say, than just using other mnemonic devices like an acronym or a song.
Yeah, those are going to ask the kind of the difference between those. But it's more purposeful in the picture or the chunk that you're getting at.
Yeah, it's like the visual is the strongest glue. So songs help, word tricks help, but visual is it. And that's a really neat thing, is that it's like a muscle you can train too. So for some of our kids, it's very natural. They immediately have success. Even though who at first don't seem to be quite getting it, when we work with it for a while, we train that photographic memory, and then they have that tool to use. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, you know, what Brianna was talking about, it's kind of like if you have an apple here and a here, in the mind, the A goes to the left side, the apple picture goes to the right. And so if that corpus callosum is being a barrier, they just don't meet very easily. But if you put the A right on the apple, then it's right in that visual moment. Huge difference. You just can't believe the difference.
Right. Yeah.
I probably gave it.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and then I know you've got some visuals for us to show us
Yes.
kind of what you're talking about. So when we come back, we'll start with that and kind of have you walk us through how to do this, because I know, as even for parents, the visuals are going to really help you understand kind of what Pam and Brianna are talking about. So they'll be back in just a second, but we're going to hear from our sponsor, Bookshark, right now. And we do thank you, Bookshark, for sponsoring this episode. And I'm just going to put up their information on there. It's bookshark.com. But Bookshark is a homeschool curriculum. It's literature-based. It's a four-day faith-neutral curriculum. You can find, like I said, bookshark.com. But Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says, my daughter is on the spectrum as well as has OCD and is instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, which makes us both ecstatic. The books are great and the kits are awesome too. And she said, even with running her daughter to therapy and a whole bunch of other things, this works in great with the 4 days because you got that extra day to build in those things. So Kim is right. Bookshark is fully planned. It's a 4-day curriculum that flexes to match your lifestyle. And the detailed instructor's guide lays everything out for you. So all you have to do is open and go. And they even include in their guide with a package, everything that you need. So you don't have to go searching around the house for anything. You just open it up, go. Curriculum for ages 4 to 16 is available. You can either get a full subject pack or just pick and choose which subjects you want. With Bookshark's literature-rich program, you engage in 35 to 50 books. Read them and engage with them as well in learning every year. So visit them at bookshark.com. You can download some samples and as well as their catalog. So we thank you, Bookshark, for that sponsorship. And now we're going to head back and talk to Brianna and Pam more about this visual learning and how you can start applying this in your own home, just using the strategies that they're going to talk about. So welcome back.
All right, the time is flying by. It's just so fascinating.
I know. Right? So, I'm like, whoo, that was an hour, and I've got another hour after this. So if you're watching, hang on, we've got Mom's Night Out. If you don't know where that link is, you either have to be part of our Facebook support group, or we have a closed link on YouTube that you can find on our website. So search those out. But
fun.
Yeah, we want to have an intimate conversation that won't be public. So we're going to talk about struggles and what everybody's going through in their houses right now.
Yeah, that's needed.
Definitely.
Okay, so I'll just kind of jump back into talking. I want to give a visual of how to do embedding so that.
Yes. So I should pull up your slides.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Peggy, going. So I'll go ahead and show. The first one is just how often maybe a phonics is taught. So you'll say it over and over, you know, it's in black and white. So we'll say ow, 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 right? It's going into that auditory side of the brain, which if there's no processing struggles, that's great, right? It moves right through that short-term memory into the automatic long-term memory. Mm-hmm. It's great. If there is that processing issue, right, that auditory is just bouncing off. So we'll say owl, down, frown, clown. Okay, we got it. And maybe the child does have it for that short period of time, and then we find out
like
it's
like what you were talking about
gone.
Earlier. Yes, that it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that leads to frustration on their part, obviously, and also on yours. You know, it's all around lots of tears, you know, often in these reading sessions, unfortunately. So one of our moms shared that this is one that she actually didn't need to worry about, because when he got to that sound in the reading and he forgot, she would just give his arm a little pinch and he'd say ow. So we're like, well, that's not very a positive reading session, but so we don't want to have to resort to things like that. So so let me show you the next picture. Here is of the embedding. Can I show that, Peggy? Maybe I need to slide over.
You might have to go over and click on your screen. There you go.
Oh, you guys see it now. Okay, let me get out of my screen so I can see you guys again. So this is how we do it for embedding. You know, we put that, just like we talked about, we put that sound right on the picture. It's so simple, but it makes the world of difference for a struggling learner. So, and once again, you know, Pam talked about how we don't put the visual above the letters. We don't put it on the back of the card. We don't put it beside. We put it right embedded on there. And obviously this is...
It may seem like it's almost too distracting.
Yes.
But it isn't, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very left brain dominant person thing to
right.
You tend to marry the opposite dominance, and a lot of times at conventions and stuff, when a husband and wife will be there, the wife or the husband will say, "This is great," and the other one will say, "This is messy," and mm-hmm. that shows you like black and white and logic and step by step. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. it makes all the difference.
Yeah, they'll say, "Oh, you have to remember the picture and the sound, you know, or the letters, you know." Mm-hmm. That's how we know. But so, and obviously, this is not for if you are left brain dominant. This is just for getting the sounds, and we know that's not how you spell cow. So it's so simple. You know, Diane Kraft sells these phonics cards on her website, but you can print off a picture, you can take your Sharpie and do it right over it. Just mm-hmm. makes a huge, huge difference. So once again, we talk about teaching to their strength, teaching to that camera that they have going all the time. Often we'll talk to mom and she'll say, you know, he can't remember how, you know, the letters in cat, but he can remember what street we turn on to go to church, what his brother wore a month ago, you know, all those right. visual details, right? Uh-huh. It's a strength that they have. Uh-huh. So we want to use that in areas that they're struggling.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when we're doing our reading practice, rather than say to them, "Remember cow, ow, ow," you know, and do that auditory, we point to that picture. So we're always reinforcing the picture rather than mm-hmm. saying things, which can be difficult at first. You know, we have to kind of remind ourselves to point to the picture instead of always trying to do verbal reminders. So the next thing I want to share is another piece that we use is looking up. So, which can sound kind of odd, but they actually observe this about spelling bee winners, that the kids at the very end of the spelling bee were looking up before they rattled off their very long words. And what they found about this is that when we, you know, not me, scientists, when they put electrodes on the brain, they found that the physiological act of looking up actually lights up that visual long-term memory, which, you know, you might find this for yourself if you're trying to retrieve a name or remember some detail.
Right.
You kind of
glance
people up.
Looking up as they're thinking. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So we're trying to access that visual long-term memory. So of course we want to use that. So we hold things up, and I'll show you exactly how we do this with my spelling word. But we do this for math facts, for their phonics sounds. You can put whole pages of information up. But the more that we train, you know, we talked about this earlier, Pam shared that the more that we can train that photographic visual memory, the better. So
right.
we don't always have to embed everything. We don't always have to have them looking up, but in this kind of training period, we're going to use those tools mm-hmm. to build that muscle. And what we find is that then they can go on, you know, I use these tools obviously, but then I went on to learn in a very traditional setting, but I always had that visual memory developed. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
but we like to
We find that they can start to see black and white in their visual memory too. It doesn't need so much glue on it
mm-hmm.
after a while. First, we just color it up, story, humor, weird, everything we can do to activate that visual memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you're building the foundational blocks, that eventually that they're building all the other information on. And it's the foundation that usually is the most difficult to make stick.
Right.
And and so as you work more building on that. And I found the same true for my kids. I didn't have to use these forever.
No.
But they definitely made a difference at the beginning because there was unknowns to build on top of.
Yeah, so let me show you. I'd like to show you how we do this with spelling, because spelling is kind of a good entry level into how to use the visual memory. But of course, we can use it for whole pages of information. A girl recently told us she used it for memorizing her Bible verses at Awana. My sister used it for her physiological psychology notes because she's more of a right brain dominant creative person. So you can use it in all sorts of different ways, how to remember the process of long division. We did that recently for some kids, but spelling's a good one because it can be such a frustration point for both the teacher and the child. And often, you know, our population is gifted, bright kids who are just, you know, the output is not always showing that. So we have these really gifted kids spelling was W-U-Z. And there's kind of this confusion of why is this such a struggle? But once again, spelling rules, very auditory, very rote memorization. A lot of times there's a lot of copy work involved, which, you know, we'll look at a whole page of spelling words spelled, you know, supposed to be spelled the same way. And we'll actually see that they're copying it. But every time there's a different version of that spelling word, you know,
exactly.
And we're like, doesn't seem like that's going into that long-term memory, you know? So we want to use a different method. So we use a visual method, so it's great for kids who struggle with writing too. So I'll show our Saturday picture with a disclaimer about my artistic ability again. Oh. I decided
to pack a cards like this for my son. Yeah. So, Yes.
So there's the sight words, obviously, that Diane has made up, but these are, you know, for spelling words, we just make them up. So a lot of times, you know, when we're working with a child, we just have them decorate up the letters that they're missing. But for the demonstration, I want to decorate up every single letter. And I usually do this when a child comes in for a consultation, because I want to show them how powerful their visual memory is. So one thing to know about this is that, well, obviously it doesn't require artistic ability, but also that the more random, the better. So you can attach any sort of artificial meaning to a word. A lot of times we'll have left brain moms or teachers try and create some rule. So every Saturday, every S has to be a sun, or every bee has to be a bear. And if you think about it, once again, that's trying to assign a rule to the visual. So if you can look at every word as its own individual story, that's better. The right visual hemisphere likes random. So that's we just create.
Yeah.
So the weirder, more zany, it's great. You can create any sort of meaning. And a lot of times you as a teacher might not be as creative, but maybe you have a little right brainer sitting in front of you that can help you come up with ideas. So when a child comes in, you know, we'll talk through the picture. So we talk about how the S is sunny. It's usually sunny on Saturdays. So we talk about the color. We talk about where the sun's located. So I actually will hold the card up, and I hold it up above the child's head. I'll kind of show you that in a second. As I'm talking through the picture and talk about how, so on a Saturday, you know, the mom She must be flustered. That's why she has three strands of hair sticking straight up.
Yes.
Yes. Probably. Yeah. Locked down with all our kids. So, and you know, once again, we point out any visual details. We point out the fact that, oh, this, she doesn't have a nose. I don't know if you'll notice that. So a lot of times when I have kids coming in, you know, we touched a little bit on the self-esteem, but that's a big part of this, is that we're rebuilding that self-confidence. Mm-hmm. So I really capitalize on the visual details rather than the letters to rebuild that confidence and to show them that this really isn't about them trying to give a correct answer. It's just about using that innate visual memory that they have that we haven't been using for them. So lots of reframing with this, because we're trying to build that self-confidence up again. So we talk about that mom and how she's flustered. So she sends her son out to the local swimming pool. Here he is on that green tee. That's a green high dive, and it's overgrown with moss because nobody's really taken very good care of the high dive. Here he is jumping into the pool. You know, we're glad it's not an E or an I, right? Because he'd smack his head. We're glad that he's going into that U pool. We point out his shorts, how they're blue, gets out of the pool, puts his sister towel on. We know it's his sister's because it's pink, it's striped, it's hanging from the R. Then he goes home. He has a nice tree in his yard. A lot of times the child, when I'm doing this with them, they'll reverse the B and the D. So I point out, you know, that there's a bush on front of the tree, but really we know, once again, if they're reversing the B and the D, that's a different issue. That's that midline issue. So a lot of times we just let that go when there's reversals, because we know that we're going to be working on it with the exercises. So you can correct, obviously, but I wouldn't, you know, worry yourself too much about that. Mm-hmm.
I like so then he into the visual, at least, you know, just as a catch, but yeah. Again, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that it's a kind of that different midline issue going on there. And then he eats that apple. It's as big as a tree, and swings in the hammock. So we really talk through almost that ad nauseum the first day that we're doing this process. Mm-hmm. We usually start with about 5 cards that we decorate up. We talk through all of the visual details. Then we hold it up. So actually, I think I don't need that screen to be shared anymore.
I'll bring that down.
I know you'll miss that picture, everyone, but so then we'll actually hold that card up above the child's head, so that we can see some white underneath their irises when they're looking up. So it doesn't have to be a strain, but we hold it up above their head. As we've talked through all of the visual details, we've talked through the letters, then we do what we call 5 looks. And it really is like a snapshot. So we put our back hand up behind the card, and when we pull the card down, we keep our other hand up. Because the more, once again, the more the eyes are up, the more we're engaging that visual long-term memory. So we do those quick 5 looks, and it will feel kind of painfully quick, because we're trying to force the brain to take a snapshot rather than rely on that S-A-T-U-R, right? Going back to that auditory.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then we ask them to describe the picture, the letters, if they forget a visual picture. Mm-hmm. Maybe I ask them what color is the boy's shorts and they forget. I say, oh, eyes get as many looks as they need. And we take a few more looks, because once again, we're reaffirming that it's not a memory issue. We need to just work on that visual memory. Mm-hmm. So then we have them spell it forward, and then we have them spell it backwards. And it really is our favorite part, because they're so shocked that they can spell it backwards. But the reason they can is because they see it as a picture. So we had a boy come to see us. He was 13 and he was pretty cool, you know, so the whole appointment with us, he had his arms crossed, and you know, you could tell that it was one of these here against his will situations. And but also because he's trying to hide. I mean, so much of this for our kids is trying to hide what they can't do, or trying to hide that they feel dumb or incapable. Yes.
Because they are smart. So they
exactly hide it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we had him do Saturday. Saturday is usually a good one. Gets misspelled a lot. And so we did this whole process with him, you know, and he was even thinking this is kind of kiddy, you know, but I got to the part where he spelled it backwards and he did it, and he had his arms up and his arms dropped down real quick, and he was like, oh, you know, and then the arms went right back up. But it just was so, yeah, it was just so neat because it, you know, he saw for himself, right, that this was something that was going to work for him. So
find with kids it's a lot huge. Of times too is that they do have that visual memory. So for moms, you may be thinking right now, this is scary, I can't come up with a story for every word. But if you have that little guy sitting with you, they're going to be throwing out ideas to it first. Yes. And you want to model it at first because you want to keep it pretty simple. I mean, one time I gave one of my sons a word to work on, and then I went off with the other five kids and came back 2 hours later, and he'd drawn this amazing dragon, but there was no word to be found. So you want to model it to make it a quick, simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Take that drawing part over. We see kids that are to get the crayons or markers from their mom because they can't, they've got some idea to put down.
Oh, yes. My kids were always way better than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we say too that we do about 5 cards. We do that process the first day. That's obviously more labor intensive because you're drawing it out, talking through it. But then the next 4 days are quick. We just do those 5 looks. We have them spell it forward and backwards, and then you're done. So 5 looks for 5 days is kind of the rule about getting it into that long-term memory. Because sometimes after 2 days, you go, oh, he's got it. But we really find that to transfer it into that long-term, it's good to have it for that full 5-day period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many, I mean, I guess it would depend based on, you know, the age of your child and where they were at. But is 5 usually about a capacity of where you want to max, or you can work on more as your kids build the ability?
Yeah, we find at first we do 5, just that's a good amount to get started, but you do get quicker. Mm-hmm. And like Brianna was saying, we don't usually have to draw the whole word. Do with her, we did at first, but like a lot of times with Saturday, the only thing they're doing wrong is they're putting an E there instead of a U.
Mm-hmm.
We might draw the high dive and the U and tell the story about him diving into the water. Well, that just takes a little bit of time, so you can get up to 15, exactly. 10 to 15, sometimes even 20 words. But it's fun because their confidence builds so quickly with it that they really get it, that that's their friend.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think we shared too, Peggy, that the main thing too is that you're not going to hit on every single spelling word, right? And unfortunately in our language, it's just lots of different spellings for things, and you know, they don't sound how they should. So once again, it's because we're training that visual memory so that they can pick up words that they read and see in black and white. You know, that's really how a good speller, right? They say, oh, that doesn't look right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, but you're kind of getting their brain to recognize that versus just focusing on the single pieces of it instead of their building a picture of the entire word. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and so that, you know, was for spelling, but we obviously do that same process for that phonic sound that I showed earlier. We do those same 5 looks with it, with a multiplication fact. We do those same 5 looks. So we use that method in many different ways.
Yeah, we have a set. I have this right here, Brianna. So
okay.
made the multiplication cards too. So they have a story on the back the mom can tell, do the same thing. And we just love, it's again, 7 times 6 is often a really discouraging
That's a hard one.
Fact for kids, and they get it and they feel smart and they want to do another one a lot of times. You know, they feel so encouraged.
Awesome. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, so I definitely want to put up your website so that people can connect with you. So you can connect with Pam and Brianna at Connect Education, and it's connecteducationco.com. And so what can they find on your website?
We tell our story, we have testimonies, we have information about our consultations. We do, like we said, consultations with families. And what's really fun about that is we get to stick with a family for the whole year. So we become your partner through this process, because we really want to make sure that you are seeing the success that we know you can have through that first year of doing the exercises and the nutrition. It tells upcoming events. Brianna knows about it. We have a store on there too.
And
we
do. You said at the beginning that you're equipped to do teletherapy, and so over the versus not just in person. So that's awesome right now, especially.
Yeah, we can see them a lot. Yeah, so we can see people, you know, and show them things. So it works really well.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great.
People can call and do an initial free phone call too, so that we can kind of see if it sounds like a good fit. But thank you so much for having us,
Peggy. Yeah, thanks, Peggy.
Yeah, this was great. And like I said, these are things that, you know, when I connected long ago with you, Pam, and then Diane at conference, I actually introduced Diane at the first conference I met her at, because I was just starting to work for Mache, and she just blew my mind. I was like, you're answering every question I have that I need answered for my children.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I talked to her about Brianna, and she asked questions that I didn't even know were linked into it, I got off the phone and just cried, because I was like, wow, somebody gets my child, because it's scary when you feel so responsible and you cannot figure out how to best teach your child. It's a hard place. So we love that.
Yeah, definitely. I know Diane's been... she's been critical in a lot of people's homeschool journeys and helping them turn that around. So definitely we'll include her link as well as yours.
Good, that'd be great.
In our video, because I'll add some more to this YouTube video after tomorrow, and then break off some of the things. And so thanks so much, both of you. This kind of wraps up our month of talking about just different ways you can help your struggling learner, tips and tricks for teaching next month. Now, we had planned this way ahead of time, but we're going to talk about mom burnout all next month. And it was just in the cards. I think God knew we would need this.
Yeah.
So so our first topic that we're going to kick off that month-long discussion about is Bringing Out the Beauty Within You with Natalie Mack. And Natalie is a hoot. You're going to love spending some time with her. She is a Bella Bling consultant, and she loves to tell women how pretty and beautiful they are, and just to make them realize that. And so that's what our discussion is next week. So I'm excited about that. So we are going to keep this conversation going. We're going to do our Special Needs Moms Night Out in just a few minutes. So join us in our Facebook support group or on the closed link on our YouTube channel. You can find that link on our website at the Moms Night Out page. So thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Brianna and Pam. It's a joy having you here. And
thanks, Peg.
Thanks for all the information that you shared with us. So we'll see everybody next week. Bye.
See ya. Bye. Thank you.